Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is such a privilege to get to speak with you today on what God has laid on my heart. Dan, thank you so much. I appreciate the friendship that we can share and that we've been able to develop, and your whole team. I know that you know it, but sometimes we think of chapel and now we're taking attendance again and I've got to come, and it's like a responsibility and duty, and it is. But man, I want you to know that your spiritual life and the development of what this team is doing, man, they care for you. They care for you physically, emotionally, spiritually. And it is so important that they're invested into your life as you get invested into God's life. And so excited to talk with you today. Purposeful plan, that's what we're looking at. If you have your Bibles, you can look at Acts chapter 9. We're going to be there in just a moment. But I want you to get to know me a little bit. So as Dan said, I am from the College of Education. And in the College of Education, we are all about relationship. That is like so important for us. I love the team that I get to be a part of. I know that probably every college thinks they're on the best team, but I'm on the best team. And I'm on the best team because we do work together, but we do life together, and we love one another. And so I want you to get to know me a little bit. There's a picture of my family. I think that was around Asheville, North Carolina. So I'm a Florida boy, so I get to experience all these new things. And apple picking was one of those things, which sounds really fun. It's really not as much fun as what it sounds because you have to go do all the work, and it was really cold, but we had a great time. So there's my wife, Rachel. You're going to get to hear a little bit about her today. She's really hot, and I'm really blessed to be married to her. We have three kids. Caleb in front is going to be 10 tomorrow. Lily is 7. She'll be 8 on Saturday. 2 years and a day apart. This is kind of an inappropriate joke, but now I've already introduced into it, so now we're going to go there. My wife and I are both teachers. Rachel teaches at Ben Lippin 6th grade math and science, and their birthdays are January 22nd, January 23rd, and we're exhausted all year long, and so if you do the math, that is the inappropriate joke right there. So we take advantage of our summers. There it is. And then there is Emmett. He was a little late to the party. He is 3 and his birthday is March 7th. The middle picture there is that I never pass a hot sign when it's on. Okay. Dr. Rogers, amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay. I never pass a hot sign. And again, Florida boy, we have Dunkin' Donuts down there. But the first day here in the fall when it hit below 80, you probably don't care about that. But again, I'm Florida boy. I'm used to the hot. And so it was like 79. I was like, dang, it is cold. We need to go Dunkin' Donuts. And my wife called and she said, you're right. We need to go. And that's why I'm blessed to have my wife. She does many things, but she loves Dunkin' Donuts. And so do I. And that was a pumpkin spice donut filled with, I don't even know what was in it, but it was amazing. So that's my Dunkin' face. When you get to know someone, you really get to know them when you find out something about them that is just like the biggest secret of their life. And so I put that clown picture there. I'm kind of regretting now that I put that up there. In sixth grade, my dad was a Methodist minister. And in sixth grade, he took me to a clown camp and dropped me off. Didn't even give me a chance. Just dropped me off and said, peace, have fun. And when we were there, we got to do two things. And I did juggling. I can't juggle anything, so don't ask, let alone a schedule. I cannot keep track of anything. I am a born procrastinator. Amen. I wrote this message, I think, last night at 12:30. That's just how it goes. But I did do my ministry, and I really loved that. And so now, from time to time, if you see that guy walking around campus, just go the other way, because you will probably be embarrassed. I love my church, Awakened Church. My pastor's there, Brad and Greg. Love you guys and thankful for you guys being here today. And I pro that and I say that because I know that you have chapel, and this is so important in what we do, and this is church, but it's so important for you to be connected in the community to a local church. And so I want to encourage you of that, to have that accountability. And of course, I love teaching, being from the College of Ed. And all good teachers know this, and hopefully you've got to do this because this became pretty popular in the last 5 years. But one of the things that teachers love to do is we love to play games. And so I thought we'd do a Kahoot real quick. So get out your device. See, you already know. You're all rustling around to get that out. Kahoot.it is where you want to go to. Everybody can play it. Kahoot.it. I know my time. There's the time. I need to keep track of where that is because I am terrible at that. If you have had class with me, I go and go and go. So, hey, the number is 643-3928. If you'll put that in and put in your name, please make sure your name is appropriate. Mackenzie does incredible work. Mackenzie, thank you for your work this week. And she'd have a big task trying to get rid of all your names if they were wrong. So there you go. Look at all that, man. We are ready to play. I'm not even going to tell you what the title is because I just want you to kind of be surprised. Five questions, and we're going to do them really fast. So I put a 10-second timer on it. That's how quick we're going to go. And so we'll just see what you know. I'm going to give you 5 more seconds, Mackenzie, and then we're going to go. This is good. Everybody online, I guess I should have said, can play too. So, all right, Mackenzie, let's jump on it because we got to be quick. Oh, I'm sorry. You got to play with someone next to you now. You had time. Here we go. Question number one. We're going to make it quick. Ooh, double points. I didn't know that. Who wrote the majority of the New Testament? 10 seconds. Very good. Next question, number two. Now you kind of know what we're talking about here. Number two, what was Paul's name before he changed it to Paul? Got some Philip fans in the house there. There we go. Question number three, all about Paul. What was Paul's profession before he became a full-time missionary to the Gentiles? Ready, go. Question number four. Here we go. Why were Paul and Silas thrown into a Philippian prison? I don't hear much talk for this one. And the last question, number five. Who did God send to heal Paul from his blindness? All right, very good. We're gonna see some results real quick. Who's Big M? Big M in here? There we go. Hannah, and number one, give it up for Ab. Who's Ab? There you go. Good job. All right. Good job, guys. All right. Now the hard part is you're going to have to go back to your Bible, not your Facebook, please, or just put it away in good response of God's word today. I'm going to get into the purpose of why that was, but first our big idea. Three things that I believe God wants us to hear today. Number one, that God has a plan for your life. And I know it's easy for us when we hear that, we think, oh man, another chapel message like that. Or you might say, like, I know God has a plan for my life. Just tell me what it is. And I can't. But we keep going to God's word as he reveals it. Number two, your life has purpose. Again, an elementary foundation of what we know to be true, but we may need to hear it someone this morning because I know I did. And number three, that relationships matter. Let's pray as we go to God's word. Father, we thank you already for the fun we've had this morning. Lord, examining the life of Paul. But Lord, there's purpose in that quiz and what we did. Yes, to know about Paul, to maybe pat ourselves on the back, because man, we paid attention in Crutchfield's class, and that's a really hard thing to do sometimes. But God blessed it, But you know, the importance of that quiz was number 5. Do we know who Ananias is? And do we take the obedience, even in fear and trepidation, as Ananias did when he was commanded to go and to touch his hands on Paul, that he would be healed? God, you have a plan for our life, and our life has purpose. We know that because we love you, and we are your children. And Father, also relationships matter. 3 big ideas and points to cover in just a few minutes. God, speak to us through your word today. Let nothing that I say come of me or of my own thought. Father, forgive me of my pride and my selfishness in this. Remove me from this, that it would speak through you and by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles again, look with me, please, at Acts chapter 9. We'll be there through our 3 points today. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." There's a whole message right there in that 4 words. Verse 11, "And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.'" Now, I don't need to go into the backstory of Saul or Paul. You know what that is. You know that Saul was a great persecutor of Christians and that he went on a rampage with the authority of the government given to him that he could persecute anyone to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower. And the disciples are fearful of Saul because of this. He means business. Ananias is no different to the fear that has come upon him. The Lord has given him a command, but Ananias knows who Saul is, and he is fearful of what is to come. Verse 13, look with me, please. It says, "But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem, and hear that he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.'" I know that I am not the only one here that has had that butt talk with God. I wish that I didn't have to admit the countless times that I came before God and that God has given me a command or an opportunity. I look at more as a privilege to serve Him and that my lips quiver that small 3-letter word. The Lord is sovereign and His ways are greater. I know that, but the Lord wants the best for me, so I know that I should trust Him in everything that I do, but I know that the Lord is calling me into a mission field, and I told you, Lord, that I would go wherever you wanted me to go, but just not that place, just not to those people. See, I wish that I could begin to tell you the times that my prayers started with praise and acceptance of what God wanted me to do. But oftentimes, my prayers do not begin that way. My prayers begin oftentimes with that but word of anything else that you could call me to do, Lord, but just not of that. Because I have a hard time admitting to this. I have a hard time in lessening myself. I have a hard time culturally of not looking for things for my personal gain and for my status. And oftentimes when God gives me an opportunity, shamefully, the first thing that comes to my mind is it going to benefit me and my family? Before God, what are you calling me to do? And I should do it. Instead, my prayers often begin with, "Lord, forgive me for not trusting in your plan, because you are sovereign. Lord, forgive me for going on my own way, for you know what's best for me. Lord, forgive me for not going sooner. You've always known what's best for me." And there's a difference between these 2 prayers. It might be a little difficult to understand at first, but I wrote it this way. I wrote it as the me over him thinking instead of him before me. I'll say that again. It is the me over him. I put myself before the Lord instead of putting him before me. For he and his ways and his plan and his purpose are always greater than me and my butts. If you're to discover the plan that God has for your life, you have to begin reprioritizing your life. I didn't say prioritizing. We all have priorities. Those things don't change when we start to recognize that we need to follow after the God that loves us. But we need to reprioritize. We need to come back down on our knees. We need to come back before the Lord. And we need to ask him to examine my heart for what he has for my life. A life centered on God and his ways is less about you and your ways. And I'm preaching to myself, not to anyone else. God has a plan for your life. Seize it, seize him. You have to get your butt in the back and give God the lead for him to work. It can never be me over him, for he is greater than me. Verse 15 of Acts chapter 9, the Lord's response. But the Lord said to him. Some of you may already be thinking, because I thought it when I read it, why does the Lord get to get the butt and I don't get to be the butt? But remember, it can never be me over him, for he is greater than me. Or scriptural standards, let's read it from Numbers chapter 23, verses 19 and 20. You ever read a scripture sometimes that just kind of smacks you in the face, gets your attention? Numbers will do that. It says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. Or I know that you've heard it said, he is God, and what? I am not. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Friends, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan, and your life has a purpose. Go. Go and accomplish the work that God has for you. Go and be that missionary. Be the pastor, the teacher, the counselor, the nurse, the musician, the athlete, the businessman or woman that God has called you to be. Your name can and is interchangeable here as Saul's, soon to be Paul's. You fill in your name. For God has a plan for your life just as he did for Paul. Your life has a purpose. There is no insignificant person or instrument in God's orchestra of God's chosen, beloved people. I love Romans chapter 9, verse 17. It says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. This is why God called up Moses, a man by stature and tongue that was nothing impressive, but who led a nation against the greatest king of that day and led his people to the hills of paradise. You might say, I have no power. If you've been in my classes, you know that I'm not a shy person to make fun of my great manly stature. My wife thinks I'm pretty amazing, and that's pretty much all that matters to me. Because I am not a man of any great stature. I am terrible at changing tires. I'm more concerned about what gets under my fingernails than I do if it goes on right. My wife is the one that fixes all the broken appliances in our home. I'm not shy to say it. As you saw from that opening picture, I'd rather lift a donut than a dumbbell any day. But I can be confident because I know that the Spirit within me is powerful and alive and ready than this old, worn body can ever compete. For great is the Spirit that is within me than he who is living in the world. Final point, God has a plan, God has a purpose, and relationships matter. Look at verse 17 of Acts 9. So Ananias departed and he entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. And then he rose, and he was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. What mattered not was the relationship that Ananias had with Saul. What mattered was that Ananias had relationship with the Lord. In the short past 3 years before coming here to CIU, I served as a pastor of Awaken Church. We attend Awaken now in Lake Wales, Florida. We had an Awaken Church too. In 2018, my wife was in a very serious accident, and it crushed two of her vertebrae, and it broke ribs in her side. The same year, I left teaching that I knew, that I loved. God had called us to this church. And before the accident of that year that happened in November, we stepped out of the teaching and I was going to go pastoring full time. And any pastors that know this and those that are training to be, there's an enormous amount of faith in there that you just can't comprehend. And then in that November, Rachel gets hurt. And what was incredible for me, the testimony of that is not the pastoring. It's not even the faith and the trust in that. I thought that I was taking a year off of teaching to minister to these people in our church that God had given when I realized through Rachel's accident that God had called us out of the teaching field to be together so that other people could minister to us as we needed during that time. Rachel, for 6 months, battled hurt and agonizing pain. Every morning we would wake up and she would lay on this mat of a brace. We would put one on top. She kind of looked like Wonder Woman. And I would, over top of her with one arm laying on that brace, I would pull the Velcro 3 times as tight as we could get it. And for 6 months, that's what we did. Eventually, she needs to have surgery. It fuses her vertebrae. And we go through the process of the brace again. And that next year, that was November, in February of that next year, my wife, my mother passes away. And we went into, as you can imagine, our life into heartache and depression and feelings of worthlessness. And I love the scripture chosen for us today because I feel it's important for us when we read scripture that God has given us a time period and a purpose. Hermeneutically, we know that of the connection of scripture, but I put myself in that scripture when it reads Brother Saul and I say Brother Joe or Sister Rachel, my wife. And it reads, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you so many years ago on the road to your purpose by which you came, he has sent me so that you may regain your sight and again be filled with the Holy Spirit. I needed that reminding in our life. Because at that time period, I would sit exhausted from having to keep my wife moving. My son, Emmett, was 1 at that time and is all daddy's boy. We'd wake up in the middle of the night and Rachel needed to walk and Emmett would be on my leg. And that's what we did, up and down the hallway. And I needed the reminding of loving people and a loving God that says, I've got you. Your plan has not changed. Your purpose has not changed. I've only redefined it. And it's going to be greater because of the experiences you've gone through. And you know the crazy thing? And I'd love to sit with many of you over lunch and coffee and tell you the entire testimony. That's just the beginning. That has nothing to do with even how we made it here to CIU, but it laid the foundation for what God did in our lives to prepare us for here. But the crazy thing is that when I look back at those moments that have hurt us, when I look at those moments of our lowest valleys, I never look back and say, man, I wish I could change it. I wish that I could take back those pains. I wish that I could take back those regrets. I never say that because I know that my past, that my mistakes, and that our failures do not define who we are. It's the Lord that defines our path. And those things for which we went through have prepared us for who we are today and will continue to be. My failure, my mistakes, my testimony, my wife's life is a testimony of what the Lord did in His favor. For He and His ways, His plan and His purpose is always greater than me and again my buts. Three statements I'd leave you with, and we'll read a closing scripture. Maybe you feel the same way. I see mistakes. And I'm a perfectionist. I overanalyze everything. I see the mistakes, but He sees opportunity for growth. I look back at all my past failures, and He sees lessons in obedience and faith. I see my past, and what does He do? He reminds me of my future. Closing scripture from Romans chapter 11, 33 through 36. Says, who can measure the wealth and wisdom and knowledge of God? Who can understand His decisions or explain what He does? Has anyone known the thoughts of the Lord or given Him advice? Has anyone loaned something to the Lord that must be repaid? Everything comes from the Lord. All things were made because of Him and will return to Him. Praise the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning, the life of Ananias and Paul, and just a small snapshot, Father, of obedience and faith. Lord, may we be reminded through this story, as You do so often through Your word, that our life has purpose. We are not here by mistake. And I know that countless times, over and over, we've heard the same message from one chapel speaker to another. But maybe someone this morning needs that seed to be planted in their heart and reminded that I do have purpose, that the Lord does have a plan for me. So many times we think, well, we've come to the Christian university, we've made it, we're here, but this is just the beginning of what God has for your life. Lord, remind us through our prayer, our commitment, our relationship. Remind us through our classes and our time with You. Remind us through Your word that we do have purpose, that You have a plan for us, and that relationships matter. We love You, Father. We thank You for the time we could share with You through Your word today. I pray that the words that You have spoken to us will be planted deeply in our heart, our mind, and spirit, that we may use them for Your glory and Your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.